Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster. Oh, my. What a morning. Huh? Ray Allen with me, engineering and producing the show. And Ray, for almost 3.5 weeks every morning, I would be saying in July, where in the world is the rain? This is going to be the driest July on record. Well, all that changed like the last couple of days of July, and then culminating today with a storm of epic proportions, nearly 3 inches of rain around the Tucson area. So it was a little bit hairy getting into the KVOI studio from the foothills, but we allowed plenty of time, and we are ready to do this thing. It is KVOI, the Buckmaster Show, 12 to 1 each weekday. The live line number 790-2040 for your calls, questions, comments, suggestions, and we invite you to become a friend of the program. There's still room at Facebook under Bill Buckmaster, and we're at Twitter at Buckmaster Show. We have a primary election 3 weeks from today, believe it or not. We're going to talk with Pima County Recorder F. Ann Rodriguez, followed by Certified Financial Planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley with me in studio for the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, and he gives me kind of a thumb that is going in a horizontal fashion, which means the market's flat. Joe Thomas is the new president of the Arizona Education Association. He will be waiting in the wings at 12:30. Then Margaret Regan, the longtime reporter, arts reporter for the Tucson Weekly, has our Fox Tucson Theater arts report to close the show out. But right now on the live line, F. Ann Rodriguez, who luckily got to work before the storm hit. Correct, Ann?
Well, I got here shortly after it began, but I will tell you the valley has gotten plenty of rain, which we need. People need to drive with caution, respect one another, because our desert does need this water very much across the state of Arizona.
You are on the ballot, which most people have received their early ballots. How many terms now will this be for you? By the way, you are unopposed as Pima County Recorder. This will be what?
Well, I was first elected in 1992. That's when President Bill Clinton was elected, so this will be my seventh term.
Wow.
And I have to make a correction. I do have an opponent. It's in the general election, though.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
No opponent, though, in the primary. All
no,
right.
Not
so
in the primary.
Congratulations would be a bit premature for you.
Yes.
But anyway, let's talk about this early ballots. Most folks, if you requested one, you should have received it by now, correct?
Correct. Most of the people that are registered as one of the political parties, either a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, or Green, and who are on the permanent early voting list have already received their ballots. Because they've indicated to us that they want to receive a ballot for every election that they're eligible for. The people that we are trying to reach out to are those that are registered as other, which we classify as party not designated or independent voters, that they can participate in this election and they have this right. So far, we've already had 20,797 registered under that category have selected a political party ballot to participate in this election. What I want to emphasize to those that are registered as party not designated or independents is that it will not change your voter registration just because you select which political party ballot you want to vote for in the primary. You will remain as party not designated and as a or a registered independent. Bill, unlike the presidential preference election, this one, which was different, which caused a lot of the confusion, for state elections, the voters of this state have voted on allowing those that are registered as party not designated or independent to participate in our state primary elections, which encompasses all the statewide races, all the local jurisdictional races in that one. And also we have several cities and towns that are conducting their township elections, which are nonpartisan election, which is of the towns of Oro Valley, Marana, and Sadarita. And so those people up there that are registered as either independent or party not designated, that they can participate in these elections. They can simply call our office at 724-4330, and one of my staff members will assist them in selecting which political party ballot they want. The only ones they cannot select is the Libertarian Party. They can pick a Republican, a Democratic, or a Green Party ballot. Libertarians have decided that they do not want those that are registered or not affiliated with the Libertarian Party to participate in their election. Hmm. But sometimes, Bill, the primary makes the decisions on some races.
Oh, you know, yeah.
It's all over mm-hmm. in the primary. So they can feel free to call our office at 724-4330, or they can log on to our website at recorder.pima.gov and click on early ballot request.
And how long will that early, what's the deadline for that?
The deadline to request a ballot to be mailed to them is, is Friday, August 19th. And if voters are unsure, we have a new feature on our website. If they're unsure if they're on the PEVEL, if they're registered with the correct new address, that thing, they can also go to the same website, recorder.pima.gov, click on check your registration, fill in the information that we ask for you, and it'll give the status of that particular voter. They got to put in the driver's license or their voter ID number, and it'll pull up if they're on the PEVEL, which elections they're available for, what their voting history. So it's a new feature on our website
now,
as we try to interact with the citizens.
What about the people who decide, well, I'd still like to go to a polling place, but these are independent people, registered as independents or no preference on their party. Can they still take part in the election?
Oh, absolutely. They can go to their early, They can have a couple of options. They can go to a walk-in early voting site and vote. We're opening right now three of my recorder's office. Go to the same website and click on early voting sites. It'll tell you where we're at, when we open. We open up some additional facilities next Monday. The voter can go to their polling location. Now, if they don't know which polling location, same website, hit polling location, type in their address, and it'll tell them where they're going.
Hmm.
So they can do it 24/7. This information is available. It's available on their cell phone. They just click it on and find out the information that is on the recorder's website. The main website is recorder.pima.gov. Click it on, and it'll give you their information. It's available 24/7. Some people like to do the interaction with a person. Those are Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
So you can select which party at the polling place that you'd like a ballot.
Sure, they would go to the ballot. Mm. They would make sure they have to go to their assigned polling location and just tell the poll worker that I want to vote this party ballot. They will give them that party ballot. It does not change their voter registration. They will remain an independent or party not designated. But they just allows them to participate in the selection. One of the comments I get from people is, how come you say both party not designated or independent?
Uh-huh.
I says, because some people want to use the term independent. They feel that they're independent, so I don't want to offend any of those people, you know. I don't want to say I'm being politically correct, mm-hmm. but sometimes they do put on there, they're independent, you know.
Right.
They don't want to participate in the two-party structures. But I have to say, Bill, you know, here in Pima County, our current voter registration is 509,667. So a big block of those people are registered as independent or party not designated. They represent 33% of the total voter registration here in Pima County. They just a little bit surpass the registered Republican parties, which is 155,400 registered voters. So, you know, it's a big block of voters that, you know, just can't say, well, I'll load it up to the parties and then complain about it afterwards, you know. And I think that's what's happening we hear out in the valley is that, you know, one of the things I want to say, the presidential candidates will not be on the primary election. Their names will appear on the November election.
Right.
We've already had calls about that one. Because people, you know, some people are disenchanted with the long voting process of electing the nominees, let's put it that way, for a presidential candidate. That's the process this country has established many years ago of electing it. Do they need to look at it? But a lot of people that I've heard said, well, I'm independent, and I'll let the parties decide who their nominees, and then they complain about who the nominees are, you know. They can't have it both ways, you know. And I know the rules governing each state on a presidential nominee selection is confusing. Different states have different rules. This state, you have to be registered to the party. Other states allow the independents to participate, and some states have caucuses, you know. So as a country, I think we need to address that.
Yeah,
we're not going to address it in this election.
No,
but
it gets very confusing.
It is very confusing to the citizens of this country.
All right.
Especially with the media and everything.
All right, FN Rodriguez, thank you very much. And one quick question for you, because I am out of time. What is our typical primary turnout usually here in Pima County?
Well, usually their primaries are low based on the elections. It's a little bit early, too early to tell. I do know that a lot of people receive their ballots, and we've already received several thousand of them back, already voted, so we're in the signature processing.
Yeah.
I want to stress that if any citizens out there get a call from my office, we'll identify ourselves. If we're questioning your signature, please answer our calls or our emails or our letters.
All right.
So we want to keep your ballot moving.
Okay. And thank you very much, FN Rodriguez.
Thank you. You have a good afternoon.
You too. Green Things, one of our fine sponsors. Boy, you won't need to water today. That's one nice thing. This afternoon, I will not have to do my watering. It normally takes about 20 minutes to a half an hour. But Green Things... Are things going to look green at Green Things? You betcha. My goodness, on 13 acres, they've got it all. 33 greenhouses full of plants. They've got some great pottery, all the gardening supplies you need. Just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. They're at 3384 East River Road. They have the workshops, the gardening workshops, free. They're fun Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Check it out. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman.
It's time for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's second annual Sweat for Pets Walk, Run, and Roll, October 23rd at the University of Arizona Campus Mall. Bring your well-behaved canine companion and all your friends and show your support for your hometown animal shelter. All proceeds go directly back to saving the lives of the homeless and neglected animals at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. You can win prizes too, including a Fitbit and an Apple Watch. Win a custom t-shirt when you raise $100. Register today and start building your team at sweatforpetstucson.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York. And easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world. You can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
I always look forward to these sessions with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman because I learn something, and that's one of the nice things about doing a radio talk show here during the noon hour. Every day I learn something, and especially when it comes to economics, I will learn something, I am sure, today. Shelley, how are you?
I'm well. I'm dry.
Thank goodness.
Didn't float away in the rain.
Glad you allowed enough time because you never know with Tucson roads.
Well, coming down here, the studio, coming down Alvernon, Alvernon has a reputation
for
being problematic.
Yes. Okay, I'm looking at the numbers for today, and I guess you could call us kind of flat.
We're flat.
The market, yeah?
Yeah, we're flat.
And
on Tuesdays, we take flat as a victory.
We do, indeed. And we had some important employment numbers.
Yeah,
last
Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah, what happened on Friday is the market astounded everybody by coming up with about 100,000 more jobs than the economists were predicting. So the prediction was for about 180,000. We got about 280,000. If you'll recall, the prior month was a very, very good month, and that was actually revised upward. The month prior to that was a miserable month. I think May was a miserable month. There was 18,000 jobs. Some of it had to do with a Verizon strike, but that was revised upwards as well. In addition, inside the numbers, we got some really interesting stuff. For instance, wages, real wages, were rising at a 2.6% annualized rate, which is better than we've seen. We'd like to see 4, but we haven't seen that in a while. The unemployment rate actually stayed steady at around 4.9%, which means that more people, in order for the economy to absorb that many new jobs in the private sector, more people had to be coming back and looking for jobs. In addition, the overall employment rate, not just the one that's the measurement that gets talked about all the time, the overall employment rate actually improved and went up a couple of 20 or 30 bips. And so in general, it was a very optimistic employment report. Unfortunately, manufacturing was flat. So a lot of the employment, you know, was in
the
area
of
service
news. Was taken away by that report.
Exactly.
Now, there's this fundamental argument in economics about supply side and what's known as a stimulus.
You've right, got Keynesian economics.
Keynesian, okay.
Exactly.
Named after the 1930s prominent British economist.
John Maynard. John Maynard Keynes.
So you have this argument, you know, you've got the two sides, one with the supply side and then the other with the stimulus. So,
and they're on tremendous display this week, because if you take a look at the speech that Donald Trump gave yesterday, it was classic supply side, trickle down, Laffer curve economics. Free market, let the market make decisions, keep the government out of it as much as possible. Versus what you're going to hear, I think, on Thursday from Mrs. Clinton, which is more stimulus, the you know, Paul Krugman kind of school of economics these days, more stimulus, more infrastructure, keep the regulations going, make sure that we balance things and make sure that the Fed continues to regulate both interest rates and keep its eye on unemployment.
So there must be tons of research for each side saying that their particular path is the right path for economic prosperity.
Absolutely. And as you'd expect, everybody has figures that support their own predilections.
Right, yes.
The more interesting research is, of course, when the supply-siders research the Keynesians and the Keynesians research the supply-siders. What I can say with some certainty is that we don't know. Is that when either of these options has been tried, to some degree, that is more than just kind of giving it you know, short shrift. The results have been disappointing. The first real supply-sider in post-war supply-sider economic policies really were tried during the Reagan administration. It's what George H.W. Bush called voodoo economics. And we know that there were some real problems. And in fact, we wound up having to raise taxes because of the deficits that were caused. And at some point toward the end of the Reagan administration, we had some pretty decent results. We also know the opposite was tried just, you know, 4 years later when Clinton came in and raised taxes instantly, and we had 8 years of very good results. We then flipped it again when George W. Bush came in, tried lowering taxes, but spending a lot. And there was a lot of government spending. So the supply siders will tell you it wasn't a really good example. But what we know, the result of that 8 years was a financial catastrophe. What we have going right now in the Obama years is some changes that are really hard to put your finger on, because the original Obama team was very centrist, a lot of Republicans. The original plan was cut back drastically from what the supply-siders wanted and certainly what the stimulus people wanted. I mean, people like Krugman were saying that the stimulus package was only half as big as it needed to be. So where we went was kind of down the middle, slight leftist bent. So there's no real proof that either one of these models, paradigms, economic paradigms, works. What we're seeing now, for instance, the states are experimenting. We're seeing some, you know, really discouraging results from the supply-siders in Kansas, and that's, you know, giving the Democrats a lot of kind of joy to see that misery. But we're also seeing in some states, such as Connecticut, where a more leftist approach, a more Keynesian approach, is being taken, and Connecticut isn't doing that well.
Why not take the best of both?
Well, that's what you try to do, but of course, then politics gets involved.
Of course.
So you know, when people ask me where I stand economically, you know, I look for balance. If there's balance in policy, markets react well to that balance. If there's extremism in policy, markets then kind of close down the spigots a little bit to stand aside and watch.
Well, I think that there's probably the good in both of those, and then bring it together, and then you've got a nice situation.
And again, the environment, the surround, the context has changed so dramatically in the past 30 years because of globalization mm-hmm. and the information age, and the fact that you can't contain an economy anymore. You know, it used to be that you could talk about one country's economy or one region's economy. You can't do that anymore. And so we're still really trying to understand the implications of you know, what you would have to call the evolution of the economic
worldwide economy.
Exactly. The other thing we're learning, and I know it's getting late, but uh-huh. the other thing we're learning is that markets tend not to be rational. All of these theories, to some extent or another, think about markets as being rational. What we're learning is that markets are non-rational, and we haven't really been able to build models that deal with the emotionality and the subjectivity of markets. And we're doing that. Hopefully we can keep it out of the political process as much as possible.
Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, always a pleasure. And like I said at the beginning of the interview, we always learn something, and that's what it's all about. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. Stay dry.
We will. We find out more about you at buckmastershow.com with a nice link right to you when you do return phone calls.
I sure do.
Have a great week.
You too.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, a conversation with Arizona's Governor Doug Ducey. Also, we'll talk with Pima County Health Director Dr. Francisco Garcia. Buckmaster Live, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with worldwide live listening, podcasts, and our archive at buckmastershow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Tuesday that we won't forget for quite a while. Big rain here in Tucson. It's been raining over in Silver City, which is very nice, just 3 hours east of Tucson. It's going to make for a incredible green weekend, 3 hours east of Tucson. Good chance to hike in the Gila National Wilderness, just do some exploring in historic Silver City. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the place to go. Their fine website listing several dozen accommodations like Spirit Canyon Lodge and lists many, many things to do. So think about it. We're so happy to have Silver City and Grant County as one of our longtime sponsors. Beautiful portion of the United States. Let's go now on the live line up to Phoenix, where they're probably getting the storm we had earlier this morning. Joe Thomas is the president of the Arizona Education Association, which advocates on behalf of tens of thousands of teachers across the state. Joe, how are you?
Doing pretty well, Bill, and you're right. We just had part of that storm blow through. Everybody here in the office had their cell phones giving us the dust storm warning all at the same time, so we knew it was coming. But I can handle a little cloud cover and a little rain. We don't get a lot of that.
That is very true. How about the, what's your assessment as we begin the school year? Is the issues for teachers certainly have not gone away over the summer, have they?
No, they really haven't. I mean, first off, we want to thank all the voters for supporting Prop 123, and we've seen in almost every school district across the state, teachers and support staff getting raises in addition to one-time stipends from the money coming into 123. But that was money that was owed, and that was not new money, no matter what the governor, how he wants to describe it. The old issues are there, as you say. We have the largest class size in the nation. We have medium to low teacher salary, especially for new teachers. And we have a lot of teachers in the state. We have a lot of people that hold teaching certificates that are not teaching. We just ran numbers through the Department of Ed. There are 92,000 people in the state that hold a teaching certificate, and 25,000 of them are not working right now. And so I say that because I don't want to say we have a teacher shortage. We do not have a teacher shortage. We have plenty of teachers in the state. What we don't have are enough teachers that are willing to work in increasingly large classrooms to where they can't reach the students the way they want to and the way they need to, and who have empty supply cabinets and don't see year end or every 2 or 3 years to see raises and career earnings. And it's making a lot of people leave and go do other things, and that impacts our students.
You know, we had a major piece in the Arizona Daily Star here on Sunday about teachers who've been breaking their contracts because they just, frankly, Joe Thomas, they've had enough and they can't fulfill their commitment, which is a shame. But again, they have economic reasons, perhaps, that they just have to walk away. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why people will end up breaking contract. To teach, you sign a teacher contract that guarantees you the job for the year. And your spouse might get a job in a different state and require you to leave. There are many reasons why districts allow that to happen, understanding that you have a life change. There are also reasons, as you described, that are born out of a stressed system, which is, I was hired to teach. I went through the University of Arizona, got my teaching degree. I want to go back to my elementary school and teach, or I want to give back to my community. And, when I was hired, they told me I was going to have 25 students in fifth grade, and I have 37. And I've gone through the semester, and I'm just not going to come back after Christmas. This is too frustrating for me. This is not what I signed up for. And that's a different kind of contract break. And teachers bear a responsibility. They signed a contract. But they also, the district has some responsibility to try to get the resources to them. And I don't blame districts in too many cases. It really is the state government. We don't put enough money to get the working conditions where they should be, to where teachers can be successful, which means students will be successful. So there's a lot of reasons why a teacher may end up having to decide for personal reasons, professional reasons, to leave early. What we try to counsel our members on is, if you're really going to make that step to where you cannot stay in the classroom any longer, or you are frustrated to the point that this is not what you thought you were getting into, we really do encourage them to work with the district. Stay in the classroom until the district can find a suitable replacement, hire another teacher for you. And in those cases, everyone, including the students, usually ends up fairly happy. Students don't want a teacher that's unhappy teaching them. Districts don't want a teacher that doesn't want to teach working for them. And, of course, the teacher that's at wit's end needs to find another occupation. So we hate to see it happen, but when it does, we want it to happen as smoothly as possible.
All right, let's see if we can work a quick caller question in. Caller Matthew would like to speak with the new president of the Arizona Education Association. He succeeds Andrew Morrill, who was there for many years. Matthew, how are you?
Oh, very good. I survived the I-10.
Good
Marana
for you.
In here.
Yeah, tough.
I didn't jet ski, so I made it. Hey, Joe, congratulations. Really quickly, as you may know, on a national level, the NAACP has basically drawn a line in the sand, basically saying that charter schools, we need a moratorium on additional charter schools in the country. I know that's obviously a state issue, and it's something that is different state by state. Here in Arizona, though, do you foresee a moment where the legislature is going to look at the charter schools and say, hey, we need some accountability here for the money being spent?
Okay,
thank
you.
Very few successful ones. More often than not, we have failing schools, too.
Okay.
But not necessarily their fault. That's it. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Go ahead,
Joe. That's a great question, and I think you nailed it. We need better charter school laws in Arizona. We need laws that provide transparency and accountability for the money that they're spending. We just had today news of a charter school in Mesa, largest school district in the state, the charter school Hillcrest Academy, I believe was its name. And they closed their doors the day before school was supposed to open.
Really?
So the,
wow.
Yeah, and the parents, I assume the teachers as well, and the front office staff and everybody that worked there, received a letter the day before saying, we're not going to open. And they cited various reasons. We think that there's maybe some financial reasons they're not talking about as we begin to try to trace down the story. But Matthew is right. At the national level, the NAACP has now denounced the idea of for-profit charter schools. I don't think that was all charter schools. The way I read it, it was for-profit charter schools. And the idea is, when we're talking about educating our kids, the money needs to stay as close to the classroom or to classroom supports as possible. It doesn't need to go to pay board members. It doesn't need to go to line somebody's pocket. You pay people a fair wage for working there, from the superintendent on down to the teacher and every other support professional that you need to make the school function. And we don't know if charters are doing that or not. District budgets are transparent. They are bulky. They have a lot of budget line items, but you can go through them line item by line item, see where all of those tax dollars are spent. You can't do that with charter schools. They run shell companies to hide their money and their funding, and we need to stop messing around. Let's get serious about it. Let's get the money into the classroom. I hope the legislature moves towards transparency and accountability. They seem to want it everywhere but charter schools is the problem.
Joe, I'm going to have to wrap it up with you, but I do have Governor Ducey for a half an hour here from noon to 12:30 tomorrow, and one of the questions, of course, will be, many are waiting for the next step after 1/23, and what would you suggest that step should be, Joe Thomas?
Well, whatever the step is going to be, it needs to be strategic in its scope, but it also needs to have new money attached to it. We're beginning to hear the governor's office and the Chamber of Commerce here say that we don't need new money in schools, and that is absolutely incorrect. The voters spoke. They want more money into schools. The only controversy around Prop 1-2-3 was where the funding was coming from. We've seen polling that shows almost half of the voters that voted no still think that schools need more money. I would put it in lowering class size or bringing back state funding of kindergarten which would do a huge boost to both our student achievement, our student growth, and teacher retention.
All right, Joe Thomas. Joe, we will explore that with the governor tomorrow, and I appreciate you being on the live line with us, and I hope it's a good school year. We'll talk often, I hope, during this year. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for covering education. You all have a great day in Tucson.
Thank you. Joe Thomas, head of the Arizona Education Association. As we push now toward 12:45, we've got the Buckmaster Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater with Margaret Regan. That's next. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Can we just talk? I want to talk to you about cockroaches. Yes, cockroaches. And their buddy, the scorpions. You know, if there's something that drives me up the wall, it's a cockroach. And it's not something people talk about. But we didn't just talk about it, we did something about it. We called Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, Alan Schultz from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you're sure to find a business you can trust. Whether you need a quote from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Ten. All right, the Buckmaster Arts Report, sponsored by the Crown Jewel of Downtown, Fox Tucson Theater. What a week coming up. Next week, Fox presents two must-see concerts. Wednesday, August 17th, the Gypsy Kings. My goodness, how many albums have they sold? Well, 20 million. Try that on. Opening act is Galen Weston Band. Then Saturday, August 20th, Domino of Van Morrison Experience takes the stage, featuring Greg Hester on vocals, Keith Jenkins on electric guitar. But he's got a favorite Van Morrison song. I know I do. And chances are they'll be doing Brown Eyed Girl, Into the Mystic, Moon Dance, all the big hits. Everyone has their favorite. Then on Saturday, September the 10th, Fox turns to the hilarious improv when the cast of the Emmy-nominated TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway presents Who's Live Anyway. Expect 90 minutes of fast-paced, witty, interactive comedy and song. So that's coming up. So what? It's a huge month at the Fox. Check out the full calendar. Purchase tickets at foxtucson.com. Here's Margaret Regan, the longtime, actually going back to 1990. Margaret Regan has written about the arts.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, 1990
for the Tucson Weekly. And, of course, she's been very busy, the author of two books on immigration, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, her latest book, and she's traveled really all over North America speaking about this book, and recently she was in Europe. How was that trip over to Europe? Were you in Ireland?
No, I was in Italy.
In Italy, that's right. I knew it started with an I.
Of all things, a nephew of mine lives in Hong Kong, married a British woman. Her parents have a house in Tuscany. What can I tell you? It was very glamorous. We had a wonderful time. It was
sounds like a family gathering,
and I saw lots of art.
Good.
In Florence and in Cortona and in Rome. It was wonderful.
Speaking of art, the current issue of the Tucson Weekly, the August 4th edition, you have a review of Clouds and Cactus, which is a group show at the YWCA Galleria on the West Side.
Yeah, and how appropriate for today, Bill.
Yes. Did you get any rain in Midtown?
Oh my goodness. My street turned into a river, which it only does in the most severe storm. My husband pontooned down to the university and sent a picture back of Country Club. I don't know how he got down there, but he says he arrived safely.
Well, it was quite a trick getting here to the radio station from the foothills.
Anyway, how is that show? Well, this is a show, Cactus and Clouds. It's about our favorite thing, you know, rain in the desert in the summer. It's really a fun show about 20 different artists. And as I said in my story, you know, what's the best way to capture a cloud? Well, 20 artists find 20 different ways to do it. One artist calls herself Trasherella. I don't know who she is. But she made almost like a kindergarten-like thing. Remember how we used to glue the clouds onto the paper?
Yeah, I do.
She used embroidery and thread. Patrick Hines used colored ink. But I was especially impressed with the photographers this time. I don't know if you know that the owner of Yikes, Patricia Katcher, I'm not sure if that's how she says her name, Katcher, she is a very good artist. And she only bought Yikes belatedly. She's been an artist for many years. And she did some wonderful photographs of stars in the sky with clouds also. And then she used black watercolor and charcoal on them. So they're a mix of painting and photography. They're just beautiful.
And that is at the YWCA Galleria. And for folks who don't know where that is, can you give us kind of a
location? It's a very nice, newish building. I don't know exactly when it went up. I think it's only a couple years old. You go out Congress, you cross the... Go out Speedway, cross the river, cross the freeway, you're into the Menlo Park neighborhood, and you turn south onto Bonita.
Mm-hmm.
That's a funny little place back in there. There's Rio Nuevo Press, and I think there's a Pima College office down there.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, so they have this beautiful building, and they've been using it for, among their other many social service activities, they're using it for theater. I've seen a play there. And now I've seen an art show there, so good for them.
All right, Cactus and Clouds running through August 27th, a very appropriate show, certainly, for the weather we're having. And, of course, one of your favorite areas is dance.
Yeah.
And coming up in the weekly this week on August 11th, you do a nice story about a UA dance grad who has become very successful.
Yeah, Joshua Carter. Joshua Blake Carter, he's a dancer who graduated from the U of A in 2009, and he has indeed been very successful. He's with Giordano Dance Chicago, which is a very highly ranked jazz dance company. You know, Chicago's kind of known for that old-time classic jazz dancing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. He got into that company right out of the U of A. But as an undergrad at the U of A, he also entered a national choreography contest and had a piece performed by a company in Denver. So he's a go-getter, and he's in the main company. He's been in this main company with Jazz Dance Giordano for, I guess it's 6 or 7 years now. And he's choreographing for different companies around the world. So very nice man. I talked to him on the phone. So he was in Tucson this summer working as a teacher for Artifact Dance Project, which is a local modern dance company. And he was invited to choreograph a piece for their show this coming weekend. So I'm excited to see that. The show should be fun. It's four choreographers, all four of the teachers in the summer intensive, who are, you know, the people going to the intensive are advanced students and some professional dancers. So we're seeing four pieces, four different choreographers, and four different classical composers.
That studio is on 17 East Tool.
Yeah.
And the performance Friday night, 7:30, and Saturday evening as well. So those
great. Because that I'm excited to see that studio. You know, they're helping to contribute to the revitalization of downtown by having this little dance studio, and they do performances in there too.
I can't believe it's Fall Arts Preview time coming up the end of the month.
I
on
know.
The weekend. Oh my goodness, where'd the summer go?
My editor said, "I don't know if you're up for it, but you know, we're doing it on August 25th."
Oh my goodness.
But, you know, lots of stuff ahead in terms of dance. I'm very excited that UA Presents is bringing in Twyla Tharp. She is probably the most outstanding female choreographer of her generation. She's into her 70s now, still creating new work, you know, still having her troupe tour and perform. And I don't think they've been here in Tucson for 10 years easily. So that's really exciting to me. They'll be coming in on October 9th. Arizona Theater Company has been saved.
Yep.
Which is a blessing for all of us. I'm looking forward to their first play. It sounds really fun. It's called King Charles III. It's imagining the man we always have known as Prince Charles.
Mm-hmm.
What will happen when he finally gets to be king? So and
will he be 90 years old?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, you have to kind of feel sorry for the
guy,
right?
I know.
Like
he's been
his whole life spent in waiting.
A long time.
Yeah.
How about the visual arts? Can you give us a couple of?
Well, let's see. TMA has this great big show up now, which I haven't seen yet. Splendors of Woven Art, Oriental Textiles and Rugs. Mocha has a show going into the fall that I'm going to review next week. It's erotica by three female artists of three different generations, women picturing the body and picturing sexuality, which is unusual, as you can imagine. So,
by the way, TMA, the new director, Jeremy Mikolajczak, I think that's how it's pronounced,
yeah,
will be he'll be my guest here in studio on Monday on the show.
Oh, excellent. I'd love to hear it. I haven't met him yet.
Yeah, so that should be very interesting.
Yeah,
so
and I do just want to, maybe you've mentioned it already on the show, a shout-out to Michael Ronstadt, who died early this morning.
Yes, I had not mentioned it, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I mean, a wonderful musician and a wonderful man and part of our community, only 62 years old.
Oh,
I don't know what happened.
Long-time illness, I heard, but anyway, he's the younger brother of Linda Ronstadt.
Right, and played so often around town with Ronstadt generations, with his two sons and his cousins. You know, there's so many Ronstadts.
All right. Margaret Regan, it is a big loss to have Mr. Ronstadt gone. And thank you, Margaret, for your work. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
All right, the Arts Report on Buckmaster, presented by the Crown Jewel of Downtown, Fox Theater. Fox Tucson Theater, Wednesday, August 17th, Gypsy Kings. Opening act is Galen West and Band. Then on Saturday, August 20th, Domino, a Van Morrison Experience with Greg Haster on vocals, Keith Jenkins on electric guitar. Saturday, September the 10th, it will be Who's Live Anyway, and then Rio Bravo, the classic 1959 film. That's going to be great on the big screen at Fox. That's Saturday, August the 13th. So there's a lot happening. Gypsy Kings, the Van Morrison Experience, Who's Live Anyway. You can purchase your tickets by going to FoxTucson.com. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, Ray Allen and Mike Shaw. 3 hours of local talk in the morning, 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you with the governor. Half hour tomorrow, Ray, with Governor Ducey. We'll take your calls on the live line. Till then, stay dry. Have a great afternoon.